When one of the most accurate fantasy analysts in the business talks, you need to listen. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast. It's your boy Herms, joined as always by my good friend, Mr. Tyler O. And we are going to talk about some guys that he is higher on than consensus and a few players that he is lower on than consensus. We're calling this exercise Faves and Fades for the 2025 fantasy season. Before we get into it, I just want everybody to know there is an article that goes with this, an article full of all the full write-ups for these players. If you want to go check it out, I will have it linked in the description for you. Now, before we get into the conversation, Tyler, how you doing?
Doing good. Happy to be back on the mic with you, my friend Herms. Did a little traveling, had a little vacation the last couple weeks. Was down in Miami. Was back home in Michigan, currently in Philadelphia. Got back to see the fam. Happy to be back. Was good to kind of take a little bit of a break before we go full bore here into the NFL season, man. It's August.
Dude, it's about time. And speaking of traveling all over the map, if you're going to be out in Canton, Ohio this coming weekend for the Fantasy Football Expo, make sure you say hi to your old friend Herms. I'll be the one who looks like me. But yeah, no, there's definitely just there's so much to get into. I'm really thankful that this weekend, finally, we get like a full slate of preseason games. It's back. There's no more screwing around. You got to get your head in the game. And that's why we have to talk about these guys who are your faves and fades for the 2025 season. Let's get right into it. We've already talked about some other stuff enough. And we will start by talking about a player that you are a little bit out on compared to where ADP has him, where some folks have this player ranked. And it's somebody that we've talked about on this show a few times that we're a little bit nervous about. But for those who haven't tuned in before, tell us why you are fading Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back Bucky Irving this season.
Listen, I like Bucky Irving, right? He's one of the few rookie running backs who actually hit last year. And to make it even better, he was going like, what, late second, third round of most rookie drafts. Mm-hmm. Wound up arguably one of the biggest steals of the draft class, in my opinion, right? So, love Bucky Irving. He had an RB14 finish last year. That's great as a rookie, especially somebody who wasn't, you know, the starter right out the gate. He was most of the season. Only topped 60% snap share twice. 60% is kind of like an arbitrary range to say like, oh, this is a bell cow. Yeah. So, he wasn't really a bell cow. And he finishes the RB14, like crazy efficiency out of Bucky Irving. So on tape, electric, slippery through contact. I mean, surprisingly tough between the tackles. I mean, I think what really was people knew the guy was good. The Oregon tape was great. But at the same time, things did not go well in the combine, which I get. He just did not test well, more of a baller. What was it? What was your, before I keep diving deeper here, Herms, like, do you remember your evaluation on Bucky Irving going into that season?
Yeah. I mean, he definitely had some fun traits, but I was a little bit worried about the fact that he's a touch on the smaller side, and then the combine performance really running that very slow 40-yard time. Now, I mean, people like to say, oh, well, Kyren Williams did the same thing, and look how that turned out. Yeah, but we're talking about two of the anomalies. We're talking about two of the exceptions that sort of prove the rule. So I definitely was not as high on some other people may have been, but I think that was kind of just the vibe.
Yeah. Very fair, very fair. So I did mention he finished RB14 and only topped 60% of the snap share twice. Serious efficiency. But I think that's also part of the issue for me, Herms, is he isn't really built to carry a full workload. I think he's listed at like 194. Maybe that's a bit generous. You know, his game is built on burst and balance, which is great for a running back, but not necessarily brute force. And, you know, I don't think he's a guy that we're going to see get 250 carries, which you don't need 250 carries to be great. Right. But it certainly helps in the way of being a great fantasy asset. But my issue with where he's being drafted at the RB8 range for me, Herms, is people are drafting him like his bell cow status is almost guaranteed. Like he's going to take a leap forward this year. And I just don't see that being the case. I think, I'll get to this piece. There's another running back there who I think is being underdrafted. But just to before I jump into that, the last piece I want to say is the Buccaneers offense, in my opinion, is there's going to be some regression here just overall. Baker Mayfield threw for over 7% TD right last season. That's probably going to come down. Liam Cohen's out of town. Yeah, I mean, you know, they have somebody in-house replacing them, but doesn't mean it's going to be a great situation. It could be fine, but still something to think about. And there's been some offensive line issues going on. We got a big injury over there as well, and I'm not exactly sure. And Godwin's supposed to be. I don't know if that necessarily impacts him, but there's just some changes going here. And I find myself in a situation where I don't think things are necessarily going to be getting better with Bucky Irving, and I'm not taking that risk at the 8. Like, I have him at 12, so I'll take him at that fringe. But for me, it's just we're a little rich, and we're already assuming that there's going to be an uptick in opportunities here. And I think there's not going to be much of an uptick in opportunities, and I think the offense is going to be worse. So for me, at that price of RB8, RB9, I'm out on Bucky Irving.
No, it makes sense. You know, I think, you know, for full context, going on average at the 207, according to our ADP on
mid-second fantasy.com.
Yep. Yeah. You know, like, it's definitely not the most expensive thing in the world, but it's a premium pick. It is a premium pick. That is going to be one of the anchors of your team. And you have to be sure that these guys are going to get the requisite amount of volume, be in the right kind of situation to return that kind of value. And I kind of agree with you. I'm not sure Irving is going to do that either. And one of the main reasons is a player in that backfield that is going to take some of this work. It's somebody that we've talked about a lot. It's somebody we've seen finish with a super awesome fantasy football season before, and that's Rashad White. Why aren't people giving more credit to Rashad White?
Dude, it's one of those things that I can't seem to figure out. And it just doesn't make any sense to me as to why he's not getting any respect. Part of it's probably the Bucky breakout here, but at the same time, even with Bucky breaking out, like, he's been good. What is he, RB41 on FTN ADP right now? He's going in the, say, 10th, 11th, 12th round. I mean, that's just almost a late-round dart throw. And we're talking about a guy here, Rashad White. We're talking about a guy who had an RB7 finish 2 years ago and still managed RB24. So, you know, barely, but an RB2 finish last year behind Bucky Irving. So, for me, it's one of these situations where, A, I look at the talent. It's good. We can address this right now. Rashad White, not a good runner of the football. Not a great runner. Very important trait when being a running back. Especially a bell cow running back. Bucky Irving is a much better running back than Rashad White. But there's two things that Rashad White does very well or well enough that's going to keep him on the field. That's A, catch passes. Rashad White is a phenomenal pass catcher. And then B, in my opinion, Rashad White is a better pass blocker than Bucky Irving, which is a very important trait to be on a football field as well. Underrated trait. We don't talk about pass blocking enough when it pertains to running backs and getting on the field, Herms. It's something I've been really trying to preach the last couple of years, but for some reason, this idea of like, oh, like, you know, being a pass blocker is not something to think about. No, if you want a guy to be a bell cow, he's got to be out there blocking his ass off.
No, for sure. Like, getting on the field is half the battle. When it comes to being a good fantasy football asset, your first job is to be on the field a lot. Your second job is to touch the ball a lot. You can't do the second thing without the first thing. And Rashad White and his skill set, he's not going to come off the field as much as people seem to think, for sure. I'm completely with you on that 100%.
Rashad White, at the end of the day, he has that kind of RB2, RB3 flex upside that you can probably plug him in on bye weeks. It depends how deep your starting roster is. A normal size roster, you probably don't want to be starting Rashad White. But there's also contingent value here that if something happens to Bucky Irving, that Rashad White immediately is a top 15 running back every single week if Bucky Irving can't suit up. Maybe they'll give a little Sean Tucker a little bit between the 20s, but Rashad White's going to be that dude. And the best part about it is we've seen Rashad White be that dude 2 years ago at RB7. So for me, it's like you're getting a poor flex play, you know, maybe a bye week fill in, but you're getting a really, really good top 10 handcuff in the NFL at RB41 prices. You know, Bucky's good, but RB8, I'm out. Rashad White, RB41, I'm in. People are probably too low on Rashad White right now.
No, 1,000%. Anytime that you can get a guy that you can use in your flex in the 11th round, like, that's not a guarantee. Double-digit round picks are not always going to be that fruitful. I love that call. 1,000%. He is also one of my favorite running backs to target in drafts this year. Now, we have a couple more faves and fades to talk about, but we have to take a commercial break. First, please don't go anywhere. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the Crossing Routes Podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. I didn't say that in the introduction. I think it's the first time I missed out on that little bit. We are talking about Tyler O's faves and fades for the 2025 fantasy season. Hey, he's one of the best rankers in the entire business. He's one of the best at his job in the world. You're going to want to know what he has to say about some of these players, including a guy that he's not super, super stoked on, a rookie that I actually finished writing about in an article of mine not too long ago, and that is Denver Broncos R.J. Harvey. Why don't you go ahead and tell folks why you're not as stoked on Harvey as others, because he has gotten a lot of steam. I kind of get why, but I'm curious of your perspective, why people need to, you know, kind of hold back a little bit.
Yeah, a ton of steam here. Very trendy, not buying into the hype. So I think I'll start things off kind of at the top. I do rookie evaluations every single year. Better at running back than I am other positions. And going into the season, RJ Harvey was, I believe, RB12 for me. So he wasn't necessarily a guy that I was excited about, right? Like that, let's be completely real there. RB12 was not a good spot. I thought he was going to be maybe a backup, probably special teams, probably could have something going on there. But in the end of the day, he was just not a guy that I was targeting. That happens every year. There's guys that get drafted high. Like I'm trying to like pull up right now exactly what I said, but I said he's a compact running back who can pack a punch and run through defenders. So flashes of speed and agility, but struggles to maintain burst consistently. Vision's okay. Sometimes makes poor decisions when reading a defense. Change of pace back, not a lead guy. There's a concern about his ability to handle a bigger workload at the next level. And I've stuck to that evaluation. Now I have moved him up to RB6 due to the opportunity, perceived opportunity, and the draft capital, second round draft capital, especially last year with a bunch of really good running backs in the class. Yeah. It's something I had to pay attention to, but I just can't stray too far away from what I believe in here. I think people are treating him like he's a locked in RB1 just because of where he got drafted. But I see a committee coming, and it's not out of the question that Harvey is maybe not the most reliable piece of it. So for me, there's too many pieces missing to his toolkit here for him to really make a huge difference. And I think to throw back, I set this up for the first half, in the first half of the podcast, is I think he's a below average pass blocker. And there's guys on that team that can pass block right now. Like Estime, certainly not the most explosive or bursty running back, but he does some things well. Jaleel McLaughlin, I mean, doesn't catch the ball well, but he's got a lot of burst. And I think J.K. Dobbins, probably going to play half a season, but still pretty solid running back. It's just, I don't see how he separates himself in this group to really turn into something that's going to pay off at price. If he was going, you know, let's say in the hundreds, it was more of a possible, you know, kind of backup option, flexi option. Hell, if he was going around Rashad White, maybe above Rashad White, I'd be in. I definitely want to click his name if he was in the mid-30s, but that's just not the case right now. He goes above a name like Trevion Henderson, which to me is just blasphemy. If you just watch any amount of college football or do any type of college analysis, it makes absolutely no sense. So for me, RJ Harvey is just a guy where I don't necessarily believe in the talent for where he goes. Wish the guy well. Hope RJ Harvey has a long, storied career in the NFL. I'm just uncertain his price right now makes any sense, especially considering some running backs that go right around him. Heck, I'd rather kick the tires on Aaron Jones and Tony Pollard around later than really have to take RJ Harvey where he goes. So hope he does well. Wish him success. I do not think this is a backfield that we need to be investing this type of draft capital into.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. For people who read things on the website from your old pal Herms, I do my fantasy face-off series. I posted an article this past week where it was between Harvey and David Montgomery. I ended up picking Harvey in that, but just in a vacuum, looking at RJ Harvey, I made kind of a similar argument against Harvey. Like, the whole thing is based around this perceived idea of like, yes, it means something that Sean Payton picked you with day two draft capital. We know, historically speaking, a Sean Payton coached backfield is a very big deal. You're typically going to be a pretty good fantasy producer, but we can't just assume that he's going to just walk in and be Alvin Kamara. And then also, you know, to kind of echo some of your sentiments, I got to see Harvey down there at the Senior Bowl this past year. I will give him credit. He is a very solid pass catcher. He's very good at, you know, catching balls in strides and just keeping it moving. He is very fluid with his movement. But like outside of that, I think even in the article, I've said something to the effect of OG Devontae Freeman vibes, which is like a really solid player, but we're not talking about a huge superstar level or anything. I don't know. Just point being, I'm with you on this. Wanted to add some additional context for the listeners. So there you go. Now, before we get out of here, we do have one more name to talk about. It's somebody you love. It's somebody I love. It's an offense that we are weirdly both super high on this coming season. Tell us why Malik Nabers is that guy. Tell us why we need to draft all of the Malik Nabers in the world this year.
Yeah, so apologies to the longtime Crossing Routes listeners, the people who have been with us for the full 2 months that we've been recording, as this is probably going to be a bit repetitive for those that are reading my articles, also a bit repetitive. But if you're just tuning in, hey, you're like, it's August. I need to start finding some fresh, hot, new fantasy football podcasts. Let me see what's out there. You've stumbled upon Crossing Routes. This is more so for you.
Hey.
2024. That's last year. Malik Nabers, rookie. 170 targets from Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, Tommy Cutlets, DeVito. They, no matter who it was, they're like, I got to get this guy the ball. He turned those 170 targets into 109 catches, 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns, finished as the wide receiver 7 as a rookie. It was a carousel. A bad carousel. Nasty carousel at quarterback every week, and he still torched defenses on the regular. Now, my opinion, things are trending up. Like, bear with me. Bear with me when I say things are trending up in the QB room. It's still fluid, I think. But Russell Wilson, I personally think that's about as bad as it gets. I would rather see Jameis Winston for fantasy purposes. I absolutely love to see Jackson Dart. Absolutely. I think we will. But Russ, let's say he gets the start. He's the least exciting of the options. When him and George Pickens played together last season, he supported Pickens as a top 10 wide receiver during that time frame when Pickens was healthy and Russ was starting. While I like Pickens, Nabers is a completely different tier of wide receiver. So I don't want to hear this, you know, Russ can't support this. Russ spreads the ball around that. Like, not buying it. He knows who his good wide receivers are. He'll throw the ball to him, especially if there's nothing else. And that's what's going on in the Steelers last year. Pickens was the only option. Where does that seem kind of familiar right now? The Giants. Not a lot of other options out there to get the football to. So for me, it's like, Russ will throw it to the guy if he knows that's the guy that's going to catch it and go down the field. So, you know, there's no, like what I'm saying, there's no alpha or really any secondary wide on the roster that's threatening his target share. They're all just there because Nabers can't get 40% of the target share, 35% of the target share. So somebody else has got to get it. That's why they exist. I think in any PPR format, half, regular, he's an absolute smash in the first round. I haven't ranked as my wide receiver 4. I will say I just moved CD Lamb over him, same tier. But it just happened recently. But what I'm saying is whether it's Russ managing games, Jameis playing YOLO ball, letting it fly, or the best quarterback on the roster, Jackson Dart playing, you're going to want Nabers. Do not let him fall to the second round of your drafts.
No, for sure, man. I really don't understand why that would happen to begin with. Because, like, look, when we talked about Nabers in the past on this podcast, I've made, you know, other supplemental arguments. Mini-League Nabers was in my fantasy face-off series, if you want to see that full thing, whatever. The thing I'll leave people with, though, a new argument. Like, fantasy football is just a math game, okay? That's really what it is. And like we were saying before, the most important things you can do is be on the field a lot and then touch the ball a lot. You know who's going to touch the ball just a lot, a ton, an absolute metric ton? It's going Malik Nabers. Like, if you're targeted that many times in the passing game, you are inevitably just going to stumble into being really good for fantasy purposes. 170 targets last year. If he can come anywhere close to that again, just from a pure mathematical standpoint, I don't understand how it wouldn't work out. You chase the volume, folks. You chase the volume. Sometimes the NFL makes it easy for us every now and then.
It doesn't have to be this hard. I always say that about fantasy football, is people love to muck it up. Heck, I mucked it up. I've mucked it up. I've been doing this for a long time. I've found ways to overcomplicate things. I've made mistakes, still make mistakes. But I'm telling you right now, it doesn't have to be that hard when it comes to just perceived opportunity and volume. And Nabers is clearly right there in the story. Come on, it. I don't want to hear about the quarterbacks. Don't want to hear about the offense, although I think the offense would be okay. Just draft Nabers. Just, if you want to take CeeDee Lamb over, might get it. Puka makes a fine chance there as well. Amon-Ra, I'd entertain. Brian Thomas Jr. as well. I mean, he's in that tier for sure, but I'm just saying draft him before those guys. It'll pay off.
You don't have to make the game that difficult. That's the thing I want everybody to take away from this episode of the Crossing Routes podcast. Don't overcomplicate things. Be sure to check everything out on the website and be sure to tune in for our next episode coming up on Thursday. It's Herms, it's Tyler O, and we are saying goodbye. Think about how far we come just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late.